Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you all to the telephone conference of the BMW AG on the first quarter 2012. With me today are Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management, and Dr. Friedrich Eichinger, our CFO. First, Dr. Reithofer will give you all an update on the business performance during the first three months of the year. Dr. Eichinger will then take you through our financial results for the first quarter. Afterwards, we will have time for a Q&A session. Mr. Reithofer, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, in 2016, BMW will be 100 years old, a clear testimony to our company's ability to evolve and grow. This is a true milestone as we continue our success story. This means that we will keep acting with foresight and a long-term global perspective in mind, just like our investors expect of us. In the first quarter of 2012, we managed to further build on our successful business performance of the 2011 financial year. In terms of sales, it was the most successful first quarter ever for the BMW Group, with a total of over 425,000 cars sold worldwide. It was the most successful first quarter ever for our three automotive brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce, as well as for BMW Motorrad. It was also the best first quarter ever with regard to our pre-tax result on the group level, which stands at 2 billion euros. We recorded an EBIT margin in the automotive segment of 11.6%. The BMW Group continues to benefit from the decisions we made as part of our strategy number one back in 2007. Today, we are clearly looking far ahead again. In 2016, we aim to sell over 2 million cars. We also aim to generate sustainable profits. This means a goal to achieve an EBIT margin in the automotive segment in the range of 8%-10% over the long term. So far, almost no car company has managed to achieve this performance for a longer period of time. For the year 2020, our vision remains clear to be the leading provider of premium products and premium services for individual mobility. In order to meet these goals, we have to make large-scale investments now in new technologies, in all our German and global facilities, and in training our staff successfully to meet today's and tomorrow's challenges. What are our expectations for the year 2012? We are targeting a new sales record for the group, new all-time highs for our three car brands, and a new record pre-tax result on the group level. These targets are based on the assumption that the economic and financial conditions will remain largely stable. Nobody can forecast how the financial systems and consumer demand will develop, given the high level of public debt in various countries. As well, the economic strength in individual Southern European markets may weaken further. One thing is true, there continue to be opportunities for future growth in the premium car market. Demand for our young and attractive model portfolio remains strong with customers all around the world. Our segments leaders are the BMW 1 Series and the X1, the BMW 3 Series Sedan, even with the model change in the first quarter of 2012, the BMW 3 Series Convertible, the BMW 5 Series, the BMW X5, and the BMW 6 Series. By summer, BMW and MINI will have introduced further new models and variants. Let me give you a few examples. This March saw the launch of the next member of the MINI family, the MINI Roadster. Next will be the BMW 6 Series Grand Coupé in June. It's the first four-door coupe made by BMW. The model update of the BMW 7 Series will arrive at the dealerships in July. One of the highlights in the second half of the year will be the revised Phantom Series 2 at Rolls-Royce, and this fall we launch the BMW X1 in the U.S. Ladies and gentlemen, the development of global car markets varies from region to region. In many markets, we recorded double-digit growth in the first quarter. This is especially true for larger regions, such as North America with a 17% increase and Asia with a 32% increase. This strong performance allows us to compensate for the decrease in demand we are currently experiencing in some countries in Southern Europe, which have been especially affected by the financial crisis. Thanks to our flexible production network and a wide range of models, we react quickly and effectively to changing market demands. It is for this very reason that we continue to strive for balanced growth across the globe. In the first quarter 2012, the BMW Group's largest individual markets of Germany, the U.S. and China were fairly balanced. In absolute terms, China was our best performing market in the first quarter, ahead of the U.S. and Germany for the first time. The premium segment in China will continue to offer positive growth opportunities. However, customers and Chinese authorities are setting specific requirements for the car industry in China. We will continue to align our production, our products, and new technologies to meet these requirements. Our new plant in Tiexi opens in mid-May. At the Beijing Motor Show, the BMW 3 Series long wheelbase version for Chinese customers celebrated its world premiere. We will bring BMW brand e-cars to China and develop a specific offering for the Chinese market in cooperation with our partner Prelliance. Political regulations around the world affecting the automotive industry remain on the agenda. Specifics vary from country to country. In China, the government is strongly pushing for electrification. In the U.S., the government has established CO2 emission targets for 2025. E-cars will be receiving credits. They will be factored in several times when calculating a brand's fleet average. In Europe, the EU Commission will decide this summer about the European fleet average of 95 grams of CO2 per kilometer as the target for 2020. At present, e-cars in the EU also receive a so-called super credit. However, this bonus is supposed to expire in 2015, which would prove challenging. In order to meet the diverse CO2 emission targets, we are consistently pursuing the development of future technologies. Our goal for 2020 is to reduce our fleet CO2 emissions by 50% compared with the mid-1990s. So, what steps are we taking? We continue to invest in efficient dynamics as well as in plug-in hybrids and e-cars. We have signed a cooperation agreement with Toyota Motor Corporation. Together, we want to take the lithium-ion battery technology to the next level. The carbon fiber for the BMW i family is produced in our new hydroelectric powered plant in Washington State. We are producing car body parts from this carbon fiber as well as components for the e-drive in Bavaria. We will then build our e-cars in Leipzig. That way, we strengthen Germany's position in the fields of industrialization, e-mobility, and lightweight construction. At the same time, we are preparing our staff for the challenges ahead. In the past 12 months, we have trained more than 1,000 employees from apprentices to engineers in the field of e-mobility at our new training center in Munich. We are facing a variety of different issues, such as political regulation, diverse market conditions, demographic change, shortage of specialists, new mobility services, the value shift in our society, and new demands from upcoming generations. Our strategy is clearly focused on addressing these challenges as an independent company. All our efforts are clearly geared toward remaining the leader in the premium segment. Thanks to our experience positioning premium brands, we will continue to grow the strengths of our three brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce. We will act with foresight and maintain a long-term global approach. This has been and continues to be the foundation for our success moving towards 2020. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Norbert Reithofer. And now Friedrich Eichinger will give you an update on the financials of the BMW Group. Fritz Eichinger, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, a good afternoon from my side as well. Our quarterly results with new sales, revenue and earnings records is once again clear evidence of our operating and financial strength. The credit rating agency Standard & Poor's upgraded our rating in April, based on our positive business development and solid financial position. This gives us the best credit rating of all European car manufacturers. The BMW Group's quarterly earnings before taxes improved year on year to 2,076 million euros, an increase of 21.8%. Our group EBIT margin was 11.3%. A change in accounting in our 2011 group financial statements has also resulted in a restatement of certain figures for the individual quarters of 2011. The change concerns the evaluation of products leased through BMW Financial Services. The adjusted 2011 figures are identified in the quarterly report. The quarterly adjustments for the whole of the 2011 financial year can be found under Note 3. Now first let's take a look at the automotive segment. Demand for our three premium brands was positively high in the first quarter. We delivered more than 425,000 BMW, MINI and Rolls-Royce vehicles for revenues of 16.16 billion euros in this segment, an increase of 12.4% year on year. We saw dynamic sales growth in China and the United States in particular, as well as in many emerging markets in Asia and Latin America. However, the situation has become less favorable in a number of southern European markets, and competitive pressure has increased. The segment EBIT for the first quarter totaled just under 1.88 billion euros. This is an increase of 10% over the same period last year, a result of sales growth and product mix. The EBIT margin in automotive segment remained at roughly the same level as last year at 11.6%. As previously announced, our upfront investments in future projects and expenditure for research and development were higher than in the first quarter of 2011. The total amount was in the low three-digit millions. We are taking advantage of our earning power to make targeted investments. Our development spending on lightweight construction and alternative drive technologies will secure us a stronger market position in the future. Our vehicles will need to become even more efficient to meet stricter CO2 standards worldwide. Over the full year, this will result in additional expenditure between 800 million and 1 billion euros. Inventories increased by more than 1.2 billion euros in the first quarter of 2012. This is essentially due to the global market launch of the 3 Series sedan and sales growth in our overseas markets. As previously anticipated, we expect a burden from pricing due to the 3 Series sedan model changeover throughout the first half of the year, mainly because not all new models are available yet in the overseas markets. The segment's dynamic operating performance generated a strong operating cash flow and a free cash flow of 1.635 billion euros. We expect this positive trend to continue throughout the rest of the year and are targeting a free cash flow of more than 3 billion euros. The positive development also had a positive impact on group liquidity. We have a strong liquidity basis and are in a good position to cope with potential volatility. As per the 31st of March, group liquidity totaled 12 billion euros. Net financial assets in the automotive segment amounted to 13.9 billion euros. Ladies and gentlemen, the financial services segment also benefited from our sales growth. We concluded almost 306,000 leasing and financing contracts with retail customers in the first quarter. This represents a 10.5% increase over the same period last year. At the end of the first quarter, the total number of contracts in place reached 3.65 million. This also includes ING car lease contracts. Our business also profited from attractive financing conditions. The segment generated a pre-tax profit of 434 million euros in the first quarter. This includes a positive one-off effect in the amount of 43 million euros from end of lease business. Earnings were therefore slightly higher year on year. The financial services segment provided leasing or financing for 38.2% of new BMW Group vehicles in the first quarter. This rate is slightly lower than last year due to China's rapidly growing share of sales and the fact that the penetration rate is still relatively low in the Chinese market. Risk situation developed as expected in the first quarter. Used car prices remain stable in the US and Germany. The price situation decreases slightly in the UK. Used car prices fell in 1,000 European markets, and we also see potential risk here for the months ahead. Overall, we expect market development to be uneven and more volatile. The credit risk for the financial services segment remains stable in the first quarter. However, individual market performance is likely to vary over the coming months. The integration of ING car lease has made the BMW Group one of Europe's leading fleet service providers. We'll be expanding our market position through new offerings. Our fleet management company, Alphabet, won the first major corporate customers for its Alpha City innovative mobility solution in the first quarter. New telematics solutions and accounting systems will allow companies to loan their fleet vehicles to employees for private use and optimize their fleet utilization. This new form of car sharing will open up new growth opportunities for Alphabet's mobility services. We remain confident overall about the prospects for our financial services business. BMW Financial Services continues to benefit from strong growth in the premium segment. Our excellent position is due to adopting more conservative residual values during the financial and economic crisis, the lower total volume of off-lease vehicles, and our healthy level of risk provisions. In the motorcycle segment, first quarter sales rose by almost 8% to more than 27,000 units. Growth in Brazil, the US, and Germany more than offset the decline in sales in individual European markets. Segment's revenues climbed 12.8% to 448 million euros in the first 3 months. At the end of the quarter, EBIT totaled 37 million euros and was therefore 19.4% higher year on year. With its attractive model lineup, the motorcycle segment can expect to make further sales gains in a shrinking total market. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group will continue its successful course in the second half of the year. We expect the positive trend in sales to continue thanks to the new C-Series sedan and the 6-Series Grand Coupe, the updated 7-Series sedan, and other new models. However, we are well aware of the uncertainties in the market. We are responding to competitive pressure in Europe with an attractive product lineup. Nevertheless, increased competition could have an adverse impact on pricing in specific markets. A number of growth markets are characterized by market regulation measures, such as import duties and special taxes. At the same time, we are taking the necessary steps in preparation for stricter CO2 taxation. Current uncertainties make it more difficult to predict business developments accurately. We remain cautiously optimistic and continue to make sustained, profitable growth and a sound financial position our priority. We are maintaining our guidance and expect all three brands to achieve record sales. Assuming the global situation does not deteriorate, we forecast record earnings at group level and in the automotive segment as announced in March. The EBIT margin for the automotive segment is likely to be at the high end of our 8 to 10% target range. We will remain on course and consistently pursue our goals. We are monitoring economic conditions so that we can respond flexibly to volatility. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we would be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger. Ladies and gentlemen, the line will shortly be open for questions. Please wait for some technical advice.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. So once again, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01, and if you need to cancel that question, you can dial 02. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Ms. Christina Church from Barclays. Please go ahead, madam.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my questions. I had a number of questions. The first question relates to excess liquidity. I was just wondering, is 10 billion still the level that you see as of gross liquidity that you see as necessary within the business? And what do you think could be a use of any excess cash over and above that level, given how comfortably you're sitting right now? My second question is just on pricing. It does seem that Europe is your key concern right now, not China, as some investors have been focused on. Could you just talk a little bit more on a country level about pricing in Europe, particularly Germany and the UK? What sort of pricing levels are you seeing at the moment? Are you seeing declines there already, or is it still holding firm? You're just worried about the future. And then finally, on your 8 to 10% margin guidance as a sort of medium-term range, do you believe that you're in a place to be less cyclical than historically, or is it just that you're at a higher point? I'm just trying to get a feel for sort of within that 8 to 10%, how low margins could go in down years and how high they could be above that range in good years. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Christina. Mr. Eichinger.
Well, Christina, thank you for the question. So I'd like to start with the liquidity issue first. Actually, we disclosed 12 billion. I think this year a level of 10 billion would be the right number for us. I mean, that's what we need in order to support our rating, as well as the reserve we need to protect the company for the volatility we experienced, for example, in the financial crisis 2008. So that is the level we are targeting. That was the first question then, to run you through the markets. I mean, we all know the situation in Spain and Italy. Just to give you a number, if you look at the market size in Spain and Italy in 2007 and compare it to the market today, it really is only half of it. So we lost 50% of the market. So that's a significant downturn. And, of course, this is leading to some pricing pressure at the same point in time as everybody is fighting for the remaining share. So that's what we anticipated to a certain extent. And, I mean, with the opportunities, especially in overseas markets, the way to compensate. What is more serious is the development in the big markets in Europe, like the UK and Germany. So far, Germany is fairly stable. We see some signs of tougher competition, but in UK there's more weakness to be seen, especially on the pricing front, as competition is very aggressive. So that's what we've seen so far. Now the question is how this will move forward, and that's where we are a bit uncertain for the time being. Now, the last question was about the margin range. I mean, as you always disclosed, for us it would be a huge achievement, and Dr. Reithofer pointed it out, to keep the range going forward stable within 8-10%. Of course, the one or other year, well, maybe there's more product momentum available, exchange rate is favorable to us, the markets are pulling, and then you could do better. I mean, we demonstrated it last year, and this is something we cannot rule out. But think about 2008 and 9, we had the opposite. And I would say it could be worse as well. But I would say 8-10% should be something in a more or less a normal situation. The company should be in a position to achieve this range going forward.
Thank you. Could I just follow up on your first question on liquidity? If you do have excess levels, what would you see as a use for that excess cash?
First of all, you know, we have 12, now we have 12 billion and not 10 billion, but you have to see there are maturities in the second quarter, and we did some pre-funding in order to compensate. So end of the second quarter, my expectation is that we are coming close to the 10 billion.
So thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Arndt Ellinghorst from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. It's Arndt Ellinghorst, Credit Suisse. I have two questions. The first one is on credit risk and whether you see an increasing risk to restructure your European dealer network in some regions, as you mentioned the weakness, of course, many times now in certain areas of Europe. And also, how big could that restructuring be, especially in the light of the fact that you mentioned 16.7 billion dealer financing, maximum credit risk from dealer financing in your report. So is that something that we should really worry about? Could that be really a big number moving forward this year? And secondly, could you share with us your visibility that you currently have? Would it be fair to assume that you have 2 to 3 months visibility, roughly? Could you talk a little bit about the second quarter and also whether your production levels in Q2 will be roughly on the same level as in the first quarter? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arndt Ellinghorst. Mr. Eichinger.
Well, actually, our credit loss rate is very low, as you know, came down to 0.35%. Having said this, we all know that the market in Spain, Italy, for example, is very difficult. We have planned for restructuring. And we agreed provisions in the fourth quarter of 2012 already of around 100 million. We think this should be, from today's perspective, sufficient. I mean, keep in mind, those markets count for 7-8% of our portfolio, though. So it's not the issues are not huge credit and leasing markets for us. So I don't think that is a huge risk for us, but you never know, right? The situation is worsening, actually, as we see it. That was the first point. And then your question about production levels in quarter two. We still are in a ramp-up phase of our new products, especially 3 series, and I expect the number to be higher than in the first quarter of 2012, but not significantly higher.
And then could you also talk about your order book visibility?
The order book, we see weaknesses in critical markets, so the order intake in Spain and Italy is not at a level you want to see it. It's as expected in Germany. In the overseas markets, we are not counting the order intake, but there the demand is still strong, very satisfying. We are, for certain models, even short in supply, so that's more on the positive side, and those are big markets like China and U.S. For the new models, like the new 3, the order intake is better than budget.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Georges Dien from Natixis. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Several questions. First of all, I know that on a quarterly basis you usually don't go for the walk down of EBIT for the auto business, but could you give some indications of on the efficiency gains versus the investment cost and the net pricing that you incurred in the first quarter? The second question on the elimination line, I understand the changes that were implemented last year, but if, when we look at the elimination line in the first quarter, could it be a good proxy for the run rate for the coming quarters? And the final question on the upfront investment cost, the 800 to 1 billion range, will that charge be evenly spread throughout the years in terms of quarterly sequence? Thank you.
Thank you very much, George. This question will be answered by Mr. Eichinger.
Okay, let me start with the pricing issue. Our expectation was that with the introduction of the new models, especially the new 3 Series model, it should be possible to improve pricing this year further. For us, this assumption is basically on risk, as the market deterioration in Europe is working against it. In the first quarter, we had a headwind of 50 basis points. So that was what I can say about this. Efficiency gains, well, yes, they are coming in. They are related to the introduction of the new models. But the new C-Series has a better cost structure as its predecessor, and the more we ramp the volume up, the more it will help us. So we are talking a three-digit million number again, and this is basically supporting our profit target. Well, and the upfront investment cost, they are really a net cost. We had the burden is between 800 million and a billion. It has a lot to do with R&D spendings and with the ramp up of investments in our plants for new technologies like lightweight construction, carbon fiber, electrification, and so on and so forth. That's where the money is going to. And I think we had to swallow the first chunk of around about 200 million in the first quarter. Now, and the last question was about the consolidation. Basically there is an effect. We expect consolidations to make a contribution in 2012 that is less negative than in 2011, so that the change in the methodology will bring something back to the bottom line.
Okay, thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. I have three questions. One on the 50 basis point headwind in pricing. Does that purely refer to the problematic markets in Europe or to your complete automotive revenue? Second point, in terms of the headwind from the 3 Series switchover, is it fair to assume that we've seen the peak of that in the fourth and first quarter this year, or is a similar amount to be expected in the second quarter? And the third question I have is on China. I mean, you had a volume growth of about 36% in the first quarter. You're officially talking about a double-digit growth for the full year. Well, I mean, basically you could have no growth in the rest of the year and you would still end up probably in slightly double-digit growth area. So what should we assume for the rest of the year, and what is driving the volume growth also in terms of your delivery behavior into that market? Would it be fair also for the following quarters to have to assume a growth above 10%?
Well, thank you very much, Christian. I think we start with the last part of the question, China, and the chairman will start.
But look, what I would like to give you is an overview that you have a feeling where are we at the moment. I mean, if you see our regions, Europe, Asia, and America, then I can say in the first quarter in Europe, retail volumes remain at the same level as last year, around 200,000 units. If I see Asia, our total volume in the first quarter was roughly 118,000 units. That was a plus of 32%. And you mentioned China, it was 80,000 units with a plus of approximately 37%. Then if I move to America, the sales volume was in total roughly 92,000 units. It was a plus of 15%, and the U.S. was about a plus of 17%. That is the world. That means Europe is still, as one region, ahead of Asia, but Asia is already, if I make a rough calculation, on a level of 119,000 units. And America is behind with about 92,000 units, only to give you a feeling. So then you ask China. I mean, China, the Chinese passenger car market is estimated to grow by 8% in 2012 to just over 13 million units. But, however, more restrictive lending in China is likely to act as a brake on investment and consumer spending. How we see it, I mean, the premium car segment in China will have a two-digit growth rate. Mm-hmm. And that is true as well for BMW. That is more or less how I see Europe, Americas, and Asia, and our strategy, as you know, is to have a balanced growth.
Thank you very much, Norbert Reithofer. The second part will be answered by Mr. Eichinger.
Yeah, I'm coming back to your question about the pricing. So the 50 basis points are based on total revenue. In specific markets like Italy and Spain, the hit was much higher, but it was washed out by the very stable markets like China and the U.S. Then your question about the 3 Series, I think that we are definitely through the peak of launch cost, but now there are some remaining issues, for example, on the pricing side. To give you one example, our most important all-wheel drive market will get supply of all-wheel drive 3 Series late in the year, and we have to bridge that gap with the old 3 Series with xDrive. And this has to carry a certain say support, otherwise it will not work. So those are the kind of remaining pressure on this side.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Horst Schneider from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. Horst Schneider from HSBC. Just a few questions have been left. I would like to get a feeling for the next few quarters for financial services. I mean, we have seen in Q1 some one-off gain related for better sales for cars coming off lease. Should we expect here positive one-offs also in the next few quarters, or is it all over now? And in general, with regard to residual values, I think we have seen recently in Germany that also here residual values come a bit under pressure. At least we have seen some news on that in the newspaper. So do you see here a trend that also in Germany now residual values come a bit more under pressure? And with regard to your guidance on production, which could be higher in Q2 than in Q1, does that incorporate already any potential strikes that we see due to the wage negotiations in Germany? Maybe you can update us in general. What are your expectations here with that regard? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger.
Let me start with production. So I said in Q2 slightly higher, so it's more or less on the same level. Small differences in production, and of course, if we would have a strike, this would have an influence in one or other months. And then the question is how quickly we can recover and compensate. So that's something that's open. But in the areas of plants which are running the 3 series, I mean, of course, we need every 3 series now, and this definitely would have an influence. Now, your question about the financial services business. Actually, we feel ourselves on a safe side with the residual values. Our residual value setting is very conservative as a consequence of the crisis. In the U.S., for example, we have heavily reduced the number of off-lease vehicles. So those are all decisions that help us to stabilize the used car market. We know we have problems in Southern Europe, but for that we have provisioned, as I explained already today. So our expectation is that this should be a very solid position throughout this year. And no extra burden to be expected from this. The gains from the maturity business, I think it was a one-off in the first quarter, and we are not expecting further one-offs in that size going forward. We are enjoying a fairly stable margin in the business. That's a positive, and are not expecting high-risk positions to come in the course of the year.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Stuart Pearson from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just a couple of questions left as well. Just on the capacity side, obviously it's an impressive 461,000 units. I'm just thinking longer term, given the stronger top line growth that you're seeing, and I guess that many of us have expected, all been positively surprised, is there any upward pressure longer term to your CapEx targets that you've set out? And when you're thinking about capacity, I mean, how soon or what's the latest date by which you'll be able to take a decision on the next phase of capacity expansion in China? Obviously, you have a lot in process there, but is it by 2013 or 2014 that perhaps we might need to see the next stage in your business plan for China? And then just on Brazil, I saw your comments earlier in the press conference, still considering that in the light of the tax changes. Maybe you could update us on your latest thinking there and whether you might consider Mexico or other countries, as Audi has recently, as production base for BMW.
Well, our principle is, as you know, the production follows the market. So you're absolutely right. We have to talk about China, but keep in mind we have already taken huge steps forward implementing capacity in China. So this month, we will be in China opening our new plant in Tiexi, and this gives us a lot of room to maneuver. Having said this, same point in time, we are planning to increase the capacity in our existing plant in Dadong as well. And so this should cover the supply we need in China for the next couple of years. And that gives us time to prepare for further decisions. But as I said in the beginning, first we want to see the potential, and then the next capacity decisions will be taken right in time. For the next couple of years, we should be on a safe side in China with the latest investments. Now, I haven't talked about Brazil. I come back what Dr. Radova said. We need to clearly to have a business case. We are prepared to go forward. We are prepared to take the investments, but actually we're still in the negotiation phase, and we need to explore different countries as potential locations for future production sites on a regular basis. This is part of our long-term production growth strategy, without there being any definite plans to set up a manufacturing location now. And so that's where we are. Now, CapEx, your question about the ratio. Our ratio last year and in 2010 was quite low. So, you know, our guidance is less than 7%. We have not been even close to that number. This year, we will be coming closer to the 6% as a consequence of the investments for future, our future. And this will then hold on in 2013 as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Fraser Hill from Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Fraser Hill from Bank of America. Just two questions from me. Firstly, on China, could you give us your thoughts on the inventory at the dealer level and also some colour on your order books? A lot of speculation in the media that the inventory has grown and order books have almost disappeared. How do you see that from your perspective, maybe with some thoughts on the Eastern versus the Western territories, and perhaps also in terms of your locally produced product versus your imported product? The second question would be turning to the automotive margin for the quarter. On some pretty healthy revenue growth. I mean, the drop-through was somewhere close to 10%. I guess we've explained part of that with a 50 basis point of pricing headwind that you saw, and also a slight tick up in the R&D. But still, you know, the gearing looks pretty low in terms of the contribution in the first quarter. So what else is kind of holding back the contribution margin there? Is the raw material headwind that you've flagged for the year pretty sizable in the first quarter? Or what dynamic are you seeing there? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Fraser Hill. The question will be answered by Mr. Eichinger.
Well, talking about China, I mean, there is a difference between the mass market and the premium market. The premium market still enjoys fairly stable demand. In certain segments, the competitive pressure is higher, talking about our 7 Series versus S-Class, for example, and we've seen sales allowances coming in. But in the other segment, it's fairly stable. So we are not looking at an order book in China because they are selling the cars out of stock. But what we see coming in, the demand from the dealer side for the new cars, especially for the new 5 Series, for the X5, X3s, and those kind of cars is very strong. And then keep in mind that we are now very close to the launch of our new 3 Series. It will be a specific version for China, a long-wheel-based car. And I think this will make a difference as well. We are expecting the same effect we've seen for the 5 Series. So overall, as the product portfolio is very fresh in China, we should be in good shape when it comes down to demand. And dealers are clearly not overstocked. There is a difference looking at the western part of China compared to the eastern part. I mean, we've seen some saturation in areas like Shanghai and Beijing, and you know about the restrictions there, but the growth opportunities now are more in the western part of China. We have more than 180 cities with more than 1 million inhabitants, and as soon as infrastructure investments are going forward, the car business follows. That's our experience, and our dealer investments are targeted in those areas. Now, the question about the margin, well, actually, we see a lot of volatility out there, and as you know, we said, well, we know we have a very problematic situation in Italy and in Spain, and as long as it's restricted to the southern European area, we should be able to compensate. Now we've seen the first weaknesses in the UK, and we don't know if it will spill over to Germany at a later point in time. That's where our concern is, and that's why we say it's too early to change the guidance now. We are, to a certain extent, not pessimistic, I would say, because, as you said, we had a strong first quarter, but we don't want to be over optimistic after 3 months this year. So we need more evidence that we can go through the European crisis healthy and with a solid margin, and then maybe after the second quarter we can talk again about a possible positive outlook this year. But today I think it's too early.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Adam Hull from West LB. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Three questions. Firstly, on the revenue per unit, if I look at your revenue growth, it was about 1 percentage point greater than your unit sales growth. If you could just highlight, you know, what the export level growth of China was in Q1, and also roughly how do you expect that to develop? To some degree, you've got a negative mix effect coming in China and on the models, but maybe give us some more guidance on that. Secondly, if I look at the automotive cash flow, you've got a positive there, add back on the provisions, $292 million, a pretty big number. I don't know if any of that relates to the employee payments. I think you have Q2, typically you get the annual payment. I don't know if there's a big chunk on that. And then finally, looking at important smaller markets like Russia, Middle East, how are they developing in recent weeks, and what's the order intake for you there? And if you could maybe comment on the talk of the Russian some sort of tax on larger engine cars in Russia. I don't know if you've got any more update on what that might be. Many thanks.
Thank you very much, Adam Hall. I think we start with Russia and the developing markets with Norbert Reithofer, and then will be answered, Mr. Eichinger, the second part of the question. Mr. Reithofer.
I will give you a couple of examples, including Russia. The first 4 months, that means including our last calculation for April, that means not the first 3 months, the first 4 months. Russia, the figure is above plus 45% volume increase. Markets, for example, like Malaysia, above 20%. Thailand, above 40%. Markets like South Korea, roughly 13% plus. Markets like Japan, above 30%. So you can see it's not just China. We have a lot of other markets in a good shape as well. And even in Europe, we have markets like the Netherlands. During the first 4 months, there was a plus of above 25%. And, of course, we have other markets as well, like Spain and Portugal and Italy. They are weak at the moment. So that is a rough overview from my side.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reithofer. And now Mr. Eichinger.
First of all, I want to touch your question about the revenue per vehicle. We've seen an improvement in the first quarter, and it's due to, first of all, the performance in overseas markets where we have a strong mix, but secondly also because the currency inflated the revenue number as well. Those were the both factors. Now, the provisions you touched, you're right. I mean, it has to do with HR cost and is related to our bonus scheme. That's the major effect in there. And then the question about the ratio between imported and locally produced cars. With the ramp up of the new 3 Series in China, it will be launched in July. I think the local share of production will grow at a higher speed than the imports.
If I could just on the exports from China, what number in terms of growth?
You're asking only for the exported numbers, right?
Could you repeat
the growth in exports to China?
No, this is 25. So the number was 43%.
It's a
low single-digit number, but we're usually not disclosing it.
No. Okay, thanks very much.
Good. Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Charles Winston from Redburn Partners. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for taking the question. Just one left for me, and it's just going back to the question of pricing. You touched on the idea that we still obviously had an impact from the 3 Series run out in the first quarter, and I was just wondering if you could perhaps help us, what would the pricing have been without the 3 Series run out? My understanding is that certainly in the fourth quarter, the 3 Series run out reduced pricing by sort of 1 to 1.5% or so. So, I mean, would we have seen pricing perhaps up by sort of 50 bips or more without the 3 Series run out in the first quarter? Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Charles and Mr. Eichinger.
Hard to calculate now, I would say, though I don't want to give you a wrong number. Sorry, that's maybe something you have to follow up with our team later.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have no more questions, or?
There are no further questions.
Good. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining in our call today and for your questions. On behalf of the BMW Group team, I wish you all a pleasant afternoon. Thank you very much and bye-bye.